You may need it or want it, but being careless about it is a no-no. It's smart shopping. Hey, welcome to the Military Money Show, where I help service members make, save, and invest money wisely. I'm your host, Lacey Langford, the Military Money Expert. Spending money is something we all do. There are things we want or things we need to buy or things we don't want to buy, but we must. Needing or wanting to spend money doesn't mean you just throw cash to the wind, though. It's important to be smart about your spending. My guest today, Trey Bodge, is here to help us all use smart shopping to get the things that we need and want. Trey is an accomplished lifestyle journalist and TV commentator who specializes in smart shopping, personal finance, lifestyle, and parenting. Here it is, my smart shopping chat with Trey. Hey, Trey, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really excited to have you on the show, and mostly for selfish reasons, because I like to shop. I don't shop all the time, but when I do shop, I do a little bit of damage.
Uh-oh.
But I will say I do shop around. I try to find the best possible price for things. I thought this would be a great show to have for people that they want to have things, but you can't just go out and buy them blindly and at full price. You have to be smart about your shopping, right?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And there are a number of ways you can do that. But I would say overall, you should just never take a price at face value. Even if you find a sale, it doesn't necessarily mean that you found the lowest price. So we can talk through some strategies and tactics to help your listeners find the best prices possible.
What would be a good definition of a smart shopper?
A smart shopper is someone who doesn't take a price at face value, who is willing to take an extra minute to dig a little bit deeper, but who also has the skill of restraint. You should never go to a store and just shop blindly. We all have budgets that we have to stick to, and I assume that your listeners have very strict budgets that they need to stick to. So it's really important to have restraint when you shop and also look for the best prices at the same time.
So some self-truth in there, some knowing yourself and what you can afford and also what you value, I think is important too, right? Because some people, what I spend my money on wouldn't necessarily be what you spend your money on or vice versa.
Correct. And there is that thing that as parents, we're supposed to be teaching our kids the difference between wants and needs. We need to be able to have that honest conversation with ourselves as well.
You touched on it a second ago about not taking something at face value. How do people distinguish between what is a really good deal versus what is marketing?
When we go out shopping in store or if we're browsing online, we may see 10% off or take $10 off when you spend this much. And those are all great things. But I always recommend that consumers take a second, stop, and see if you can find a better price someplace else. Given the fact that we have our phones with us almost all the time, when we're in stores, we can take a step back, Google the item that you're looking at, see if you can find that item at a better price someplace else. And if that's the case, you should stop, not buy that item, and then maybe buy it at that other place. Simply because if that price is better someplace else, it's worth the wait.
Are there other tools besides Googling something in the store? Are there apps or other resources people can use to compare prices?
When you're online, you have more options. So if you're home at your desktop or laptop, there's a tool called a browser extension, which makes your browser smarter than it already is. And those are free tools that you can install. One of my favorites is called Invisible Hand. It is a free tool that you can install into your browser. And then as you shop around, you might get a pop-up from Invisible Hand to say, hey, there's a sale on this item someplace else, or there's a coupon that I can try to apply for you right now. It literally does all that digging for you, so you don't have to do it yourself, which is my favorite kind of tool. So browser extensions in general are one of my favorite ways to save. There are also good apps to help you save along the way. There's one called Slick Deals. That is it's a deals app, and it will also give you an indication of whether you're finding a better price someplace else. It can let you know if there's a coupon code that you can apply at checkout. These digital tools are just ways to help make this process much, much easier. And you should definitely use at least one or two of them as you shop.
Do you think overall then it's better to shop online? If there's a big ticket item that you want, like if there's a purse you're wanting or like a Yeti cooler or something like high priced, is it better to do it that way?
I always recommend doing some research before you make a big purchase. And there are two reasons for that. You can do this online and look and see if the prices are perhaps better or comparable online or in store. But then if there are features that you might want to experience in person, like you mentioned a Yeti cooler, you can have a sense of how big that cooler is or its features when you're looking online. But really, when you're in store and you have it in front of you and you can say like, okay, does this have wheels? Is this easy to pull? Is this big enough to carry all the things that I need? Can I sit on it? These are all things that you might want to experience in store. Thankfully, retailers are offering comparable pricing for the most part, both in store and online. So you can do it in both places. But then the second part of that is that timing is really important if you're making a big purchase. So for instance, if you need a new appliance, you're not going to find great deals on appliances every single month. You're going to find great deals on appliances at certain times of the year. If your stove is acting up a little bit, can you maybe wait a month or two until it's a good time to buy a stove? For instance, Labor Day and Memorial Day are really good times to buy appliances. You can sometimes find good appliance deals around Columbus Day as well and over Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Can you wait until that sale period and then save a lot on that item versus saving a little right now?
That's true about in-store, being able to look at something and really see it. Because I have done that, accidentally bought something that's too big or too small. And then you get it and you're like, this wasn't what I wanted. And then now you get the problem of shipping it back.
Exactly. And, you know, especially with those bigger purchases like those home appliances, there are so many things that you want to see in person, right? It's, you know, when you open that fridge up, is it organized in a way that works for you? You can see that a little bit online, but really having that touch and feel is going to help you make the right decision ultimately.
What is your advice for people learning to be patient and do the long game? Because I think that's my strong suit. I will cyber stock something I want. I will wait it out. Like I can wait. I'm definitely, if I like something, some things, if you need it right away, obviously, like I just had to buy a new iron after like 20 years or something, but things that you want, how can people that don't necessarily have that good habit, maybe develop that cool, have a cooling off period?
That's a great point, a cooling off period. So when you see that item in the store, and I think this is really good for seasonal trends, right? If we're talking about apparel and accessories and, you know, right now, animal prints are all the rage, right? But do you need an animal print jacket, jeans, shoes, and a handbag? Probably not.
Or somebody might make fun of you.
Right. It's overkill, right? And you don't know if animal prints are going to be in style next season, if you care about that sort of thing, right? When you go in the store, you may see all these animal prints and you may try on a couple things and you've fallen in love. My advice, if you can, walk away. Are you going to go back to the mall next week for something else, to run another errand? Can you walk away, think about it, and then think, okay, I think I'm going to spring for the purse because not only does it have an animal print, but I really love the way that it was organized inside and it's on sale next week. You can have that conversation with yourself versus buying the whole thing all at once and then coming home with too much stuff and you've overspent and blown your budget. Be patient. Walk away. And then if you still really want that thing, or maybe you can decide between those four things and go back and make a really educated decision, you're going to feel better about that whole process and about that item that you did ultimately treat yourself to.
I've done that, bought something that in the store I felt just made my soul so happy, and then got it home and be like, why did I get this? I'm not going to wear it. Or, well, that's just, you know, or something doesn't fit like I thought it would. It just becomes a waste. So I think when I look at something, I say, can I wear this for work? Can I wear this to take the kids to school? How am I going to actually apply this purchase? So you know that it's actually going to be utilized.
That's a really good point. You know, how useful is this item? I think now with fast fashion, the way it is, you can buy things and they're so cheap, right? So you go to Forever 21, which is closing almost 300 stores, because I think there's a sea change that's happening now. People are realizing, oh, maybe I don't need all those cheap things. Maybe I should invest in a couple of higher quality things and not go for all that cheap merchandise that you don't know where it's being made and by whom, right? Be careful about fast fashion in general, because A, it's trendy, so it may not be in fashion next season. So that's one thing. But also, if you buy something for $10 and it seems really cheap, you've just spent $10. It's still $10. It's $10 that could be spent now, or you could save that up and apply that $10 towards maybe a bigger purchase of a pair of boots that are going to last you 5 years instead of that one thing that's going to last you one season.
I think that's a really good point, because something that, like, let's say you bought a shirt that has a huge, like, ruffle right on the chest, that might not be something you're going to be wearing 3 years from now. And let's say you paid $100 for that blouse. It's just not worth it in the long run. I get quality versus quantity. I'm definitely about buying a quality item that's going to last a long time versus that little stuff over and over again. Because let's say you get a pair of jeans and then they get a tear in it that in a place that you didn't want a hole, or, you know, a blouse that the buttons just pop off or that it's ripping at the seams, then you end up having to go and buy two more of those versus just buying one really good one.
Yeah, I think the fast fashion trend is fading now. I think we're learning to shop a little smarter, and we should all do that. Just walk away from the things that seem too cheap to be true, because they are inevitably too cheap to be true, and they're going to fall apart on us and not last.
Yes. And that's annoying, especially if you just got something. Is there the feeling you get when you get a good deal? Because I do. I think everybody does. If they think, wow, I always give this example. I have this pair of Fry boots that I cyberstocked for a long time before I ever bought them. They were like super expensive, but I ended up getting them for, like, I don't know, 55% off or something like that. They are like a sense of pride for me. Not only are they nice boots, but it was like, I got a really good deal on these. I was very patient and I love them. They're good quality. They're going to last me a long time. And it's such a good feeling. Is there a word to describe that feeling? Is it like runner's high? Do you know?
I think so. Yeah. And there's a psychological term that I'm not remembering right now, but let's just say it this way. There is a thrill to the kill, right? To finding that awesome pair of Fry boots. Enjoy it, right? There's also, though, that same high of walking into a store and buying anything. We are humans. We love to acquire. It is exciting for us. Try to make it that much more exciting by getting a good deal on top of it. And you brought up an interesting point about the fact that you cyberstocked this item for so long. I mentioned the Slick Deals app before. Slickdeals.net has a really cool feature called a deal alert. So if you had those specific Fry boots, it's a certain, say it's like the Fry Angie boot, you can put that into Slick Deals, set a deal alert for it, and then Slick Deals will let you know when that item goes on sale. That's a really good way to cyberstock something, because you don't have to do anything, and it's going to let you know when that item's on sale. You're going to get that item that you want, and you've cyberstocked it but didn't have to do any work, and so it'd be extra thrilling, in my opinion.
That sounds much more efficient than the way I did it.
Because you can spend a lot of time cyberstocking things, and when you could be productive doing something else.
Right, and if somebody could just tell me when it's time, and that way I'm not always online looking, because that could lead to other temptation to see something else that I, you know, feel is a good deal or that I need, and end up spending money that I didn't plan. So that is one technique I definitely use, is just try to avoid.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so much going on in any given day. We don't have time to spare. And there are these great digital tools that will do the work for you. So why not?
Right. And that's not just for you, because I'm talking selfishly all about the deals I want to get. But let's say, you know, for birthdays, if my boys want a certain item, like one wants the iPod or the earbuds, AirPods. Yes.
Yes.
So that's something that I could put into Slick Deals to let me know, give me the alert.
I will warn you, though, about Apple branded things. They don't go on sale very often.
That's good to know.
They don't go on sale very often. But something to keep in mind is that they do usually go on sale around Black Friday. And the discounts won't be super exciting. They may not be 50% off, but you may get $10 or $20 off, which is better than nothing.
Right. Well, that brings up a good segue to my next question. The holidays are coming. What advice do you have for people to start preparing now? Even though I have told them Christmas comes every year.
Yes, we forget that.
Yes, we do. And that everybody's birthday comes every year.
Yeah, I mean, these dates don't move, but we get caught unawares. I could go on about this. Let me kind of approach this from a very, very streamlined angle here. So first of all, do you have money saved for the holidays? If the answer is yes, awesome. If the answer is no, it is not too late. We are just here in October 1st, and there are ways to save money for the holidays before they come. First and foremost, if you don't have money saved for the holidays, take a look around at your day-to-day and think, am I paying someone to do something that I could do myself? That is the first place to save money. So are you getting a weekly manicure? Are you paying someone to wash your car? Are you paying someone to mow your lawn? If you answer yes to any of those things, these are probably, if you are able-bodied, of course, these are probably things that you can do yourself. If you say forego that weekly manicure and say you're paying whatever, $15 for it or more, if you're getting gel and all the bells and whistles, take that money that you didn't spend at the salon and set it aside, and that becomes your holiday fund. In a month, month and a half, you have quite a bit of money set aside. So that's one. Secondly, it's a really good habit to get into to create a list of your recipients. And you may be thinking, oh, the list is in my head. I know exactly what I need to get. But the fact is that if you create a list, and you create a budget that you plan to spend for each person, and then you have gift ideas in there, it's a really good way to stay organized and on track. So when you go into a store, say tomorrow, and you find an awesome sale on something that you may have jotted down an idea for your aunt, you could make that purchase now. Spreading out those purchases for the holidays is really helpful because it's less impactful on your bi-monthly or monthly paycheck that you're receiving. So it's a good kind of slow way to build towards the holidays. Those are my two kind of like chunky pieces of advice to help us prepare for the holidays in advance.
Those are two awesome pieces of advice, especially the list. I preach that too, because you have to have a budget. You can't have a blank check for anything in life. That's just not a smart way to go about it. But especially at the holidays, because it is the giving season and people do want to give, but having a list also helps you make strategic decisions, because something always comes up. Like, oh, well, the school wants money to give the lunch lady something for Christmas. Right. Well, the lunch lady wasn't on your list. Not that you hate the lunch lady, but you know, you can't have a budget for everybody for the holidays. You could maybe make the lunch lady some brownies, and that would be a nice gift. But knowing who you're buying for, and I also say put a number beside it to say this is the max I'm going to be spending on that person, then it helps you with the planning, like you're saying, but also to help say no.
And I think that saying no is really important too. That's a really good point. Making that list also helps you evaluate your spending habits around the holidays and potentially make some changes. So as you make the holiday list, you may think back to that big family gift exchange that you have every year. Maybe there used to be two kids in the family, and now there are 20 kids in the family, and you're buying for each one of them, plus all your siblings, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, and you ended up spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on your holidays. Maybe it's a matter of revisiting this and having a chat with the family and saying, hey, maybe we should do something different this year. Let's do a white elephant, or let's draw names and each buy for one person, or we only buy for the kids every year. Make a big change. Everyone will be grateful that you made the suggestion. Trust me.
Right. I think just planning ahead and getting organized goes a long way to still make it the thing that you want, but one that reflects on your budget.
I mean, in hundreds of dollars for buying for everyone in your family is a really good place to start. You can trim that back by making a practical decision, hopefully that everyone will be on board with.
But something you said just kind of hit me, that also you need to be aware of your who you are. Because if you, let's say, I go that book, The Love Languages, if you show love by buying things, you could go off the rails during the holidays. So I think knowing that the way you kind of lean, that you definitely have in a list, would be really important. So that's a fantastic point that you brought up.
something else to think of as well when you are making that list, if you do tend to go a little bit overboard buying for yourself during the holiday shopping season, add yourself to your list and set a budget for yourself. If you're in the like one for them, one for me category, which I think a lot of us fall into because it sure is fun to shop for ourselves. If you set some limits, it'll help you make smarter decisions about what you treat yourself to as well. That way you won't blow your budget doing too much self-shopping during the holidays. So if you think, okay, I can buy myself two things. As you're shopping, you have to think, oh, is this going to be one of my two things? Yes, no. Then you've made a more thoughtful and well-informed decision when you do treat yourself.
Trey, I think I needed to hear that. I think I needed you to say that to me. I am so guilty of that.
Stop it, Lacey.
Yes, that wasn't for anybody else. I needed to hear that. So, what are some common mistakes people make that inhibit them from being a smart shopper that they can avoid?
Keeping up with the Joneses is one of them. And bending to our kids' will.
That's a good one.
So, you know, keeping up with the Joneses is obviously if your uncle is very well off and he is very generous around the holidays and he goes overboard and buys everyone really expensive gifts, you do not have to do that in turn. If you are on a fixed budget and you have your list and you've set aside $20 for your uncle, stick to that. And shame on him if he can't get on board with that. That's first and foremost. So buy what you can afford, not what someone else can afford. And then your kids. I mean, by God, if they're asking for all these expensive things and you've budgeted for them, you know, $50 a kid, $100 a kid, if that's all you can manage, that's all you're going to spend. And you don't need to buy that brand new Nintendo device or whatever it is that they're asking for. And if they're clamoring for it, especially if they're in their teen years and they really want that expensive thing and that's all they want, then sit down and have a discussion with them and say, you know what, I budgeted this for you. If you really want those AirPods or that brand new phone or whatever it is, let's go in on it together. You know, you're working, you're waitressing now or scooping ice cream or whatever it is, babysitting. Let's go in on it together. I can pitch in this and you can pitch in that. And then that way they get the gift that they really want, but you don't go over budget.
I think about this before the holidays. My children's birthdays also fall right before Christmas. So it's a crazy season for us. I like to go through their rooms before then to see all the things that we bought that were really nice that they've just like thrown in the back of their closet or at the bottom of their toy box or, you know, they like under the bed. And I'm like, okay. And that helps me when I'm going into it to think, okay, I don't need to buy a bunch of little stuff just for the sake of filling something or having something to unwrap. I really want to make sure that it's something that they value and that they want. So looking at what they have and comparing that to last year helps you not overspend, or at least it does me.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, especially when buying for kids. And I say this a lot around back to school time. Go through their rooms, see what they really need, have them try on all their clothes so you don't go overboard and buy things that they don't need. I think with kids, it's hard in so many ways not to spoil them. We want to give them more than we had when we were growing up, for instance, you know, and you're doing well and you want to show them that. And the other thing that I've encountered is my daughter has said to me in the past, you know, she's 13 now, but when she was younger, she used to say, well, how come for Valentine's Day, I got a little bear and a few chocolates and my friend got a humongous bear and 5 boxes of chocolates? First of all, it's hard not to disparage another family right. When you think that they're spoiling their kids and making it hard for you. So finding a diplomatic way to explain, you know, every family has their own way. And this is our way. A little bear and a few chocolates is what I think is appropriate for Valentine's Day. And it's how I'm just giving you a little I love you. We don't need to give you a huge bear and 5 boxes of chocolates. This is our family and this is how we manage things. I'm not saying that that other family is wrong, but this is our family. And I think explaining that to your kids is really, really important, especially as they get older and they're entering their tweens and teens and parents are giving them those pricey Adidas sneakers that the kids are all asking for. I kind of have a thing where, no, I'm not getting you a pair of sneakers for $200. It's just not happening. If you really have to have those, again, this is how much I'm willing to put in. Feel free to pony up the rest. Getting your kids comfortable with what your financial rules are is really important as they grow. And it will teach them financial literacy as they leave the home as well, to be more prudent with their spending in general.
Right. That was a great mirror to show people how they can be better with their children, because you're right. It's a touchy subject. You don't want to beat down another family, but you also want to make sure your kids know this is how we roll. This is how we do things, and that there isn't a blank check. So I think that's a really good point. That's valuable to everybody. So thank you for that. Well, I have a couple of quick random questions. What is one resource or tool in life or business that makes your life easier?
The internet.
I know. That's the truth.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, the digital tools for me are indispensable. They are there for you to use. Apps, browser extensions, deal sites. All of these things are doing so much more than you can do for yourself. So utilize them. They will help you. That for me, I mean, if I didn't have these digital tools, I would spend so much more than I do already.
What is your favorite book right now or of all time?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. That's so hard. You know what brings me joy, actually, is David Sedaris, his books. He's a comedian, and he writes the funniest books ever. So if I ever just need a pick-me-up and a good laugh, his books really make me happy.
That's always good to have something upbeat, and sometimes you need that to decompress. Now it's time for my favorite part of the podcast, which is game time. And today, special for you, Trey, we are going to play Would You Buy It? So,
okay.
I'm going to give you some items that I'll just say are interesting and interestingly priced, and see if you would be willing to buy it or that you would pass on it.
Okay.
Okay. First one, Barclay Steakhouse, I think it's in Philadelphia, has a $100 cheesesteak sandwich. Would you buy it or pass on it?
Pass.
Okay. Listed on Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's website, there is a toothpaste squeezer. So you would save money by getting all the extra toothpaste out, but it's cost $244. Would you buy it or pass on it?
I would find a cheaper one.
Yes, that's a good answer. Good answer.
I like the idea, but I know that you can get those for like $2 on Amazon.
All right. These are a pair of dumbbells, but they are special dumbbells. They are gold 1800 carat. They're priced at $125,000. If you had the budget for it, would you buy it or pass on it?
If I had the budget for it?
Yes.
Pass.
Yes.
I will pass. I will pass on everything that is overpriced.
Okay, so maybe this wasn't a good game. All right.
Also, you mentioned your Fry boots. Fry boots are really good boots, and they will last you a really long time, yet they are very expensive. So I would do exactly what you did. I would cyber stock them, and then I would buy them, because I know that they are a timeless style that will last me forever. I won't always pass on something that's expensive, but if something is overpriced, I definitely will.
Okay, what about a home food delivery service that will cost you $103 a month, but you would be having healthy meals for you and your family?
If that was really a challenge for me, if cooking healthy meals for my family due to my schedule was really hard and we were going out a lot or door dashing or whatever it may be, I would buy that. My husband, he and I both work from home and he cooks. I'm lucky in that regard. But if that were not the case, I will pay more for something if it allows my family and I to live a more healthy life. You know, I'll pay more for that, for
right.
Sure.
I think that goes back to what you value. That's what's important to you. Like, my husband and I say, if it's education, like health, we'll spend on it. That's something that, you know, we both have a lot more leeway with talking to each other about, but that's just what's important to us.
Oh, same. I mean, I'm the same with my daughter, where if she wants to take a class after school, as long as it's educational or athletic, I will do it for her, whatever it is, or musical, because she likes music. So I will find the money. But if it's more frivolous and she's not going to learn anything and it's not going to help her physical fitness, then probably not.
All right. How about sunscreen that is not your average? It has extra stuff in it, helps reduce inflammation, protects you from the sun, if it is $100 a bottle?
That's tough because I write about beauty a lot and I try a lot of products. I get a lot of product for free, but that does often introduce me to things that I think are really special. And so if I had tried the product already, so if I was an average consumer and I went into a store and I tried the sample of this item that you're referring to, and I thought that it was a really amazing anti-aging product and the sunscreen didn't irritate my skin, which I definitely have trouble with sunscreens, then I would pay more for it. Yeah.
Okay. Those are all my questions for would you buy it? But you brought up a good point that I have one more follow-on question for you. How do people get into stuff like that if they want to test things, if they want to be the first to get new products? Is there a way for people to do that from home? You know, maybe they don't get paid for it, but they get the item and they get to review it?
There's actually something that I discovered fairly recently called Pink Panel. They have opportunities where you can test products for a certain amount of time, and then you have to fill out a questionnaire, and then they actually will pay you for it. It's like $20 or sometimes, like I did one and I got a $25 gift card to Amazon. There are other ones where they'll give you a credit to shop at a beauty site. So Pink Panel is pretty cool for that. I think that Procter & Gamble has a version of that that you could test out. I mean, you could easily try like Googling test beauty products and see what comes up, because there are a few different opportunities that way where you can test things and maybe even make a little money. And then focus groups is another thing that you could look up, because sometimes focus group companies have beauty testing opportunities. So that's another avenue to look at. And it's kind of fun. You know, you try a product for a week and you fill out a little quiz and then you make a little extra money. The Pink Panel, I will say, is that they only let you try one product every 6 months. And I think that that's a flaw for them. I wish that maybe it was more, you know, like once a quarter, for instance.
Especially if it's something, one is for skincare, maybe for your eyes, and the other is for your lips or, you know, your face in general. So you could be using them at the same time.
I agree. I mean, I just think I was disappointed to learn that after I tested the first product, like, oh, you don't qualify for another 4 months. And that wasn't made clear at the beginning either. So shame on them. But I think it's actually a really cool way to try a new product and make a little extra money at the same time.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show, sharing all of your knowledge. I feel like this has been a personal coaching session for me. So I hope other people got stuff as well.
I hope so.
Can you tell everybody listening where they can learn more about you and what you're up to?
Yes, absolutely. I'm at trutray.com. I have a bi-monthly newsletter. So if you're looking for tips and tricks, ways to save money, sign up for that. And then you can follow me at TrueTray on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Wonderful. I'll be sure to put all of that in the notes. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Great chatting with you.
Thanks to Trey for being on the show to help us all shop smart. Hopefully you picked up some tips that will help you with your everyday spending and for your holiday spending. You can head over to laceylangford.com/podcast to get all the notes and to learn more about Trey Bodge. I appreciate you listening, and I will talk to you next week.